we would open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 15. And this morning we'd like to continue our study of the parables. Today we'll be speaking from the parable found in Matthew chapter 15, verses 10 through 15, which deals with the condition of the heart. And he called the multitude, and he said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth. This defileth a man. Excuse me. Then came his disciples, and they said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after that they heard this saying? But he answered and said unto them, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are you also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. And then also, if we would turn to Mark chapter 7, and reading from verse 14, and he called unto the people, and he said unto him, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are you so without understanding also? Do you not receive or perceive that whatsoever things from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth into the drought, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, and fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach thy word this morning and ask your blessings upon it. We pray that, Father, you'd help us as we would look to your word for a greater understanding of this parable. And we ask that you would help us to be able to tie it with the hour in which we live. And now we just commit these things unto thee in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Now, there are five things that I would like to bring out of this parable that Jesus is telling us. Number one, Jesus tells us that defilement comes from within, from the heart. Defilement, he says, is not a condition of being infected from without or affected by that which is without. But defilement is a condition of the heart expressing itself outwardly. Therefore, if defilement does not come from that which is without, then there is nothing that can defile you unless that defilement is already in you to begin with. Now, I know they talk about pornography and things, and they say, well, if a person, you know, starts seeing these kind of things, it'll defile them. And yes, it does defile you. But if you're truly born again, you're not going to be looking at that stuff. Or if you happen to see it, or if it pops up, you know, on your computer screen or something like that, you quickly do something to get rid of it, you see. Because if the condition of the heart is such that your heart is feeding on God and His Word, then you're not going to be feeding on those things. But if the condition of your heart is such that it's defiled, then you're going to feed on the things that would also defile. Because, let's face it, birds of a feather will flock together. Now we ask the question then, is a man a thief because he steals? Or does he steal because he's a thief? Remember, Brother Branham gave us a clue when he said that he said, you know, drinking and smoking, that's not sin. He said those are attributes of unbelief. And so a person drinks and smokes and chases and things like that because they're not a believer. So a man is a thief because he's a thief inside, and therefore then his thoughts can, you know, work toward thievery. His speech will work toward thievery. His actions will work toward thievery. Well, then, if we're filled with the Word of God, then what should that do? Your actions should be working toward that which is manifesting the Father. Your speech would be manifesting the words of the Father. Your thoughts would be manifesting the words of the Father. And you see, because you're filled with God. So it's what you are on the inside that the outside will only reflect. In talking to Brother Vail the other day, we're talking about the body. And you know how God made a body, and that body died. And that body was God's body, but he loaned it to his son. Two vessels, or two beings sharing the same body. And so when that body died, you could say in one sense that God died. Or at least he was able to touch death or feel death for us, because we are identified with our body. You're identified with your body, I'm identified with my body. And therefore, out of the abundance of the heart, you do and act and think and say and all these things. So, therefore then, we must know who is on the throne of our heart, and who is on the throne of, who's a conductor, so to speak, within us. And you see, the stealing doesn't make a man a thief, for he must first think it in his heart. A man must first think adultery in his heart before he can commit adultery. And then once he thinks it, that thought becomes a seed that is planted. And once that seed is planted, then as they water that seed, it brings forth that seed into manifestation. Years ago, we preached a message called The Garden of Your Mind, and we found that every thought that we think is a seed, just like the thoughts that were in God before the foundations of the world were a seed, and God, he moved upon those and watered them and brought them into manifestation. Now, Brother Branham said, sin is not drinking and smoking and chasing. Those are just attributes of unbelief. But the man disbelieves and therefore manifests that disbelief by doing those things that are contrary to the Word of God. And we know that we were all born in sin to begin with. We were all born in sin, shaped iniquity. We came to the world speaking lies, as the Scripture teaches. Therefore, as the Scripture also teaches, there is none that is righteous. There's not one. And all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's Isaiah 64 and verse 6. But we are all as unclean things, and all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are the clay. Thou art the potter, and we are the work of thy hand. So David acknowledging there in the psalm that we were born in sin to begin with. So if the condition of our heart, like Jesus said, is that such of fornications, adulteries, and all these things, then it takes a new heart. It's going to take a new heart to change what comes out of the mouth. You see? Now Jesus links the heart of man with his lips, or the tongue. He says, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They have all become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat, notice, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they have used deceit, the poison of asps under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. So Paul, again, is showing that the condition of the heart is associated with the condition of the mouth. And when the mouth speaks things, it's only a reflection of what is deep within the soul. Now, point number two we find in Matthew 7, where Jesus tells us a tree cannot bring forth good fruit and evil fruit. And James also tells us, neither can a well bring forth bitter water and sweet water. So in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, we read, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. And then he says, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree shall bring forth good fruit, or every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now we also find in James, it tells us concerning the sweet water and bitter water, that any single fountain cannot bring forth both types of water. In James chapter 3 and verse 9 we read, therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therefore curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Now, what do James and Jesus have in common with these parables? They're saying that outside things are not that which defile the man, but those things that come from the heart are the things that defile the man. Then he lists a whole lot of things that show defilement within the man. He says, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come out from within and defile the man. And in Matthew 12 and verse 33 we read, Jesus says, either make the tree good or his fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruits. And we know in the Anointed Ones at the End Time, Brother Brown told us that the fruit is the teaching of the season. So if you've got a tree, which is a person, and their teaching is right, then it's good fruit, it's a good tree. But if the teaching is in error, if it's wrong concerning the doctrine, if it's wrong concerning the times, the condition, then it's a bad tree, it's an evil tree. And it's good for the burning is all. Therefore, he says, you judge the tree or the man by what comes out of his lips in terms of teaching. It's what they teach. Jesus continues, he says, O generation of vipers, and now notice he's calling them serpent seed here. He says, you generation of poisonous serpents, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure and heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Now, we covered this thought several weeks ago concerning the treasure in the heart. You know, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So let's just read on. But I say unto you that every idle word that men speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And why is that? Do words have that much meaning, or do the words tell you something? You see, the words tell you something. They actually reflect where your soul is at, the condition of your soul. Because it is your words, the things that you say, declares where your heart is and what things that you hold dear within your heart. So we're looking at what is there deep within the heart. For that is the real you, if that has not been born again, then you're in a whole lot of trouble, because not only will your language reflect it, but you're going to have to give an account for those things, those reflections that your language is giving. Number three, then your heart is what you are. It is your understanding. It is what you think and thus what you express. It is what you understand and thus a reflection of the condition of your soul. And out of the abundance or overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak and the body will act out those things. That's why when Brother Bram said that when the person receives the mark of the beast in the forehead, in the mind, and in the hands, their actions then will work out those thoughts that are in their mind. And when you receive the mark of God, you receive it in the forehead and in the hands, and your actions and your thoughts will portray the word of God. See? Now, from explaining healing in Jairus, Brother Bram said, what you are is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Those who he called, he justified. Is that right? And those who he justified, he has glorified. Already, in the presence of the Father, we have a glorified body. Wasn't that deep? All right, we'll find out whether it's right or not. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Is that right? That's right. So right now, and what we are there, what we are here is a reflection of what we are somewhere else. So your deeds, if your deeds are evil, then you know where it comes from. You know where your other body's waiting. Now that's if I was living a life of Riley and living a life of sin, I would be scared to death right now, hearing that quote from the prophet. Because he's saying that what you're doing, the way that you're living, is a reflection of where your other body's at. And that's where you're going to. Now in the parable, Jesus is telling us that the mouth is the means whereby we know what is in the heart. And if our mouth is not true to what is in our heart, then we're hypocrites, which is even worse than being a sinner. From condemnation by representation, Brother Brown said, when a person is preaching a doctrine, then you've got to stay with your belief, with your own belief. And if you don't, then you're a hypocrite. In other words, people can say, well, yeah, I'm teaching the doctrine because Brother Vail's teaching it. Well, if you're only teaching it because Brother Vail's teaching it, you're a hypocrite. Well, I'm teaching it because Brother Bram's teaching it. Well, if you're only teaching it because Brother Bram taught it, you're a hypocrite. That's why these people that just will quote Brother Branham, they're, you know, and they have no true revelation of what they're saying, they're a bunch of hypocrites. They can quote all they want, but if it's not in here to begin with, your quotes doesn't mean nothing. I believe that's the reason why I've had a lot of success around the world. Because I believe what I'm preaching. With my whole being, I believe what I'm preaching. And people see that. And you can take the scripture, there's hundreds and hundreds of scriptures, you take hundreds and hundreds of things Brother Bram said, and you line it together, and you believe it yourself, and then they believe it. Because you're not a hypocrite. Now, I've talked to people before that, well, they claim to believe the parousia, you know. I knew that they didn't believe the parousia. They claim to say, I believe everything Brother Bram's or Brother Vail teaches. I'm teaching the same thing. And then they go off and they teach two gods, or they teach, that there is no second coming, that this is the second coming, and things like that. Well, they're a bunch of hypocrites. Don't tell me that you believe everything Brother Branham believes, or you believe everything Brother Vail believes. Tell me what you believe. I want to know what you believe, not what somebody else believes. I can go to Brother Branham to find out what he believes. I can go to Brother Vail to find out what he believes. Tell me what you believe. You see? Brother Branham says, what you believe in your heart, he says, just because a man preaches a doctrine, he says, when a person is preaching doctrine, then you've got to stay with your own belief. And if you don't, then you're a hypocrite. If you say something because someone else says it, and in your heart you don't believe that, then you're a hypocrite because you're saying something that you don't believe. I'd rather be criticized a little upon things that I do believe than to be a hypocrite in the sight of God trying to compromise with someone else. You know, how many people came to Brother Brown and said, you know, if Brother Brown, if you just kind of just don't preach on these things, you know, then we'll support you. Yeah, right. You know, what are they saying? Brother Brown, we want you to be a hypocrite. Then you can be like us. You know? Now, there are a lot of people who claim to believe the message, but their mouth declares them to be hypocrites. Well, you say, that's pretty strong, Brother Brian. Well, because on the one hand, they say only what the prophet says, and then when you say what the prophet says, they get mad at you. Now, to me, that's a hypocrite. Or they say, just, I believe everything the prophet said. So when you share hundreds and hundreds of quotes with what he said, I don't believe that. Well, okay. What does that mean? It means that you're saying one thing, but your mouth is speaking another. I mean, you're in your heart, you're believing one thing, but your mouth is saying another. Your mouth says that you believe everything the prophet says, but your heart doesn't. You see? These are people who say one thing, but believe another. And Jesus called them hypocrites. And that's what Brother Branham was telling us here. Now let's see other things that Brother Branham says about this. From Uncertain Sound, Brother Branham says, as I was saying a few days ago, either here or somewhere speaking on the lie detector. Now notice close. I want you to pay close attention. Put a lie detector on you and you try to impersonate that truth and you try to say that it's truth, but down on the inside of you in the subconscious lays a place called the soul. And this intellectual mind does not govern that vibration of that system. The mind is only a director. It will direct you, and it's very incapable of bringing you to God, your mind. You cannot know God by your mind, by the intellectual. It's one of the resources or the channels that would lead to it, but your soul is what governs you. You are what you are by your soul. Jesus said to the Pharisees, why you hypocrites? How can you speak good things? When they was calling him good master and so forth, said, out of the abundance of the heart speaketh the lips. In your heart you hate me. And in your lips you call me good master, he said. You hypocrites. See, your soul is thinking one thing and you're speaking with your lips another thing. What a case. What a horrible thing. What a deceitful thing it is to be a hypocrite. For out of their mind they say one thing when their soul says another thing. Now, the lie detector will not work on your mind. It'll work on your soul. It'll not work on your intellects. There are some people can impersonate the truth. They impersonate, yet it being a lie, and can impersonate it till they can deceive like anything. And Satan is the best that there is, for he has deceived Eve by that way, saying them same things. And the biggest lie was ever told had a lot of truth in it. Now, this person, What if you could ever get his soul on the inside so in harmony with God that your soul and God would be one together? Then you could ask what you will and it would be given to you. Many people come to me many times in the prayer line and stand there and say, "Oh, Brother Branham, I have plenty of faith. I've got faith like to move a mountain." And yet they haven't any faith. They hardly have enough faith to get to the platform. But they are conscious of one thing that they do believe. They are believing intellectually with their mind. And their mind will never bring them to God. Your mind is reasonings. And God has no reasonings. And if you can reason it out within your mind, your mind will tell you, "Now, looky here, the doctor says I can't get over this. It's impossible." Now, the doctor, with his intellects, with his intelligence, and with his knowledge of medicine, he's told you the best of the travel of his mind. And you take your mind and using the same thing the doctor has told you, God can never touch that line as long as you reason. But let's put down reasoning. God never made us to live by our intellect. We live by the Holy Spirit that's in our soul. That says no to any reasonings that's contrary to God's word. When God's word says it so, there's nothing in the world that stands in its way. Then when you do that, you're getting down to the right side of God. You're getting down till you can ask what you want to, and it'll be given to you. Because there is nothing between there. There's no reason. Let's cast away those reasonings. They stand in your way. Get your mind out of the way, and don't you say what you reason, but what you see or what you think. Say what God says to be the truth. And that can only come from the inside, from the heart, not from the intellects. Now, if you follow this thought through, you can take almost every message that Brother Branham is talking to the people about healing or anything like that, and you find that he's talking in such a way that he says, "Look, I believe what God says has got to happen, period. Therefore, I can have faith to pray for you because God said it. Not because of my faith, not because of anything that I can muster up, not because of any intellectual reasoning that I have, but simply if God said it, it's got to happen. And the only reason why it doesn't happen for you is because you don't believe it. You see, to him that believeth, all things are possible." You see? "Whatsoever you ask in my name, believing, you receive it." See? From impersonation of Christianity, Brother Bram said, and in this being the intellectual type of church that we have today in America and all over the world, when we get to that type of school, when the Christian, the believer, the church member, reading the Bible, sees that they must try to act humble, and he must try to be this way, but in doing so, he only makes a carnal impersonation. Let that soak deep, a carnal impersonation or comparison. He's trying to act something that he really isn't in his heart. In his heart, he's thinking one thing and trying to act another, which is real, genuine language that makes him a hypocrite. It's like these people that, "Lord, bless you, my brother." Now, do they act that way all the time? Do they act that way to everyone? Or do they act that way only when they're trying to impress you? You know, when I come across people like that, I like to kind of give them the old cat test, Pentecostal pussycat test. Rub them the wrong way. Just see what they do then. I remember doing that to a brother down in Jeffersonville one time. He talked so nice and so... And then I mentioned something to him that somebody had said, and he was just like a cat going, "Rear!" Oh, did he get mad? And I thought, yeah, good, it works. It works. And that showed me the man was phony, you see. God doesn't want a bunch of put-ons. He wants you to be what you are. Jesus said, "You hypocrites, how can you speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart speaketh the mouth. If you don't speak according to what's in your heart thinks one thing and you speak another, that makes you a hypocrite." The very word Pharisee means actor. They acted out their religion, for they had a stony heart. They come and they said, "Good master, we would see a sign from thee to prove that you are what you said." And he said, "How do you call me good when there's none good but God? How can you call me good master when you hate everything I preach, everything I stand for?" You see? From a certain sound, Brother Ram said, there's where so many people today is going to be so terribly disappointed at the day of judgment. To know that they've lived in church, to know that they have done good deeds, to know that they have treated their neighbors right, to know that they have been loyal to the people, loyal to the church, and in their minds have been believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be condemned at the day of judgment. Jesus said, "Many are called and few are chosen." Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, but few there be that find it. I had a brother write to me this week from overseas, and he said, I've been looking for the quote from Brother Branham. He said, I'm sure that I saw some place where Brother Branham said, all that are born again will go in the rapture. And so I looked it up real quick, and the question was, Brother Branham, will all born again believers go in the rapture? Brother Branham said, no. Only the elect. That means you can be born again and not go in the rapture if you're not in that election. That ought to put you into a humble position. Not trying to be humble because it sounds good, it acts good, it sounds like a Christian. You know, people might respect you as a Christian. Look, don't do things because of people. Do things because of God. You see, He's the one you're going to have to answer for. He's the one you're going to have to give account to. So if your life is truly a reflection of His Word, then you'll receive the reward for that. If your life is contrary, and your heart is contrary, you'll receive the reward for that. So fill up on the Word, you see. Now, okay, so Brother Rand says, now in the soul is where the man lives. You are what you are in your soul, not in your mind, not in your reasonings. Not because you say, well, I'll have a better standing. I don't associate with better, or I'll associate with better company if I become a Christian. That's reasoning, see? You mustn't do that. Don't do that. But let it become from a new experience, a new birth, something that's happened, not in the mind, but in the soul. That's taken all reasonings away, and you become a new creature, and you're in Christ Jesus. Now, from God making His promise, Brother Branham said, now, if you're trying just to impersonate it, then if you're just making a hypocrite out of yourself, you see, because you can't do that. Christianity is something that has to come from the heart. Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees, He said, you hypocrites, how can you say good things when out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh? Then if the heart thought one thing and the mouth spoke something else, it's a hypocrite. It becomes a hypocrite, see? We must from our heart express exactly how we feel. We must express it from our heart. And if we can't express the right thing, then keep still. That's the best thing you can do. Don't say nothing about it. And now if the church ever gets to practicing that, they might have a fewer members for a while, but they'll have a better members while they're having it. God grant the day that when every man or woman will be or express just what they are. You see, here's the key. Here's the key. He's not saying, look, if you're prejudiced, that you express those prejudices. He says, if you're prejudiced and you know what's wrong, just keep still until you get a change of heart on those things. If you got opinions, then just keep still until God can give you a change of heart on those things. Because when you're changing your soul, you won't be prejudiced. When you're changing your soul, you won't have your own opinions. You'll have God's opinions. Then what will come out of your mouth and in your actions will be God's actions, God's speech. Then what you'll be judged for is the Word, and the Word will judge in that day. That's why we judge ourselves now. How do you judge yourselves now? By saying what God says, by thinking what God says, by doing what God says. How could you ever come into judgment on those terms? You can't. You can't judge the Word. You can't judge the Word by the Spirit. You judge the Spirit by the Word. The Word is what judges. And if you're living out, acting out, speaking out the Word, you see where you're sitting. You're sitting in heavenly places, judging with Christ. Okay, from God making His promise, He says, now, if you're trying just to impersonate, then why, you're just making a hypocrite out of yourself. Can't do that. See, Christianity is something that has to come from the heart. Okay, from exhortation on healing. Brother Branham said, I learned this, friends, that God knows what's in your heart, see? And if you don't speak from your heart, then you're a hypocrite. Is that right? And I really mean it. From Word Became Flesh in India trip, Brother Branham said, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you hypocrites, how can you say good things? That's what's made them a hypocrite. They thought one thing in their heart and they expressed with their lips something else. A hypocrite is that. That's what makes a hypocrite. He said, how can you being hypocrites? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. You don't speak what you really think. And see what I mean? You must say what you think. If you don't think it, don't say it. See? Speak your words. Let them become from the bottom of your heart, like Jesus said of that tree. No man eateth from that tree. Why? why there wasn't a shadow of doubt in his whole heart what the tree that the tree would wither away. See why his heart was coming from a pure, it was the Spirit of God in him that was making him that way, teaching those disciples a lesson. You see what I mean? Then let that be pure. Let your thoughts run pure and your expressions pure. Live pure and be pure. Now out of the heart proceedeth evil thinkings, adulteries, and all these different things. If it comes from your heart, that's what's in your heart. But if out of the heart comes righteousness and peace and love and joy, oh my, then it's coming from a resource here that's made up of that. See what I mean? It's made up of the Spirit of God here that expressed itself through the words, and what you say will come to pass. You see, if you're always using words that are gutter words, like, you know, if you're just using a bunch of gutter words when you talk, well, that's because your heart's in the gutter. Lift your heart out of the gutter. Talk God talk. You know, we have the expression, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? How would Jesus say it? If you watch the film when Brother Branham was speaking and they were interviewing him, you know, he would kind of almost like this. He'd be talking like this. It's almost like he's watching the words scroll by and he's trying to find the right words to say as he was talking to these people. You see, he's weighing out every word, because by every word we'll be held accountable. You see? And so when we talk, do we use words, you know, four-letter words, and do we talk gutter talk? Well, that's because we need a good cleansing by the washing of water by the word. You see? Now, number four. You see then, the heart that we are born with is no good to begin with. And if that is so, then we are dependent upon God to give us a right heart. God must give us a new heart, for the heart we are born with is corrupt to begin with. Then he gives us another spirit, and then his own spirit. In Ezekiel chapter 11, and reading from verse 19, he says, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances, and do them, and they shall be my people, and I shall be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. So you see, if you just continue to walk in the way of the world, or walk in the way that your heart always was, you're going to be held accountable to that. But if you want a new heart, God will give it to you if you want it. In Ezekiel 36, verse 26 to 28, he says, A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away your stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments, and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Notice, God says, I will make you to do these things. Why? Because you have a new heart. If you have a new heart, there's new desires that come along with it. From the inner veil, Brother Ram said, notice there is an intellectual faith and there's a faith that comes from the heart. The old unbeliever, he said years ago, when the Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, he said, that's crazy. There's no mental facilities in the heart. He said, you think with your mind. There's no mental facilities in the heart. But last year, they found that's wrong. God was right. Right down in the heart, in the center of the heart, there's a little compartment where there's not even a blood cell in it. It's not in the animal heart, only in the human heart. And they say it's the occupation or the occupant of the soul. The soul lives in the heart. Then after all, God was right when he said, as a man thinketh in his heart. And I'd like to add, so is he. And so this brings us to the last part of this question. Well, what about the heart? And this is very important that you understand about the heart. As I just read from these wonderful quotes of Brother Branham, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And of course, if the soul resides in the heart, then what if a man's heart is removed from him? And he receives someone else's heart? Is there then a living soul within that person? Now think about those things. What about it? I believe if a person died and their soul is gone to its eternal destination, then all you have remaining in you is a living beast. And Brother Rand talked about these men that could ravish a woman. He said, that's not a man, that's a beast. You see? But what about those people who are purely serpent seed? What then? Do they have a soul? The serpent had a place for the soul, but he didn't have one. What about his seed? Now, I'm asking a lot of questions because, look, I don't know. I don't have the answers for all that. But the question is that the soul is what you say and what you do is a reflection of your soul. What if your soul is just completely immoral, completely amoral? Is there a soul there? Or is it just a beast nature? From here you hear Brother Bram said, man ain't measured by muscles. That's beast. Man's measured by character. I've seen men that weighed about 200 pounds and all muscles and didn't have an ounce of man in him. Throw a baby out of a mother's arms and ravish her. That ain't a man. That's a beast. That's just brute. That's brute. Man is character. There never was a man like Jesus Christ. But the Bible said that he was no beauty that we should desire him. Probably a little bitty fellow, stooped in the shoulder or something. We all hid, as it were, our faces from him. But there never was a character like that man. That's what a real man is. You don't measure a man's muscles by the bags. You don't measure a man by his muscles, but by the bags of the knees in his pants where he's been praying. That's the way you measure a man, by character. What about a man like Mike Tyson? I mean, animals would bite off the ear of another animal. That man got into a boxing match and he just lost it. Lost whatever humanity he had. Bit the man's ear right off. Is that a man or is that a beast? To me, that's a beast. What does it take to make a Christian life? That's what Brother Branham preached a message called that. He said, now I want you to listen close for a few moments before closing. I want you to notice one thing and watch closely now. Watch the order of the scripture. He says, I will take away the stony heart and give you a new heart. Now, that heart is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And I will give you a new spirit, and I want you to notice the order. Now, many people get that mixed up. They think they got the Holy Ghost when they just got a new spirit. Now watch. From what it takes to make a Christian life, Brother Branham says, I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit, and then I'll put my spirit. Now the new spirit, God had to give you a new spirit. But that's a new spirit God give you so that you could get along with the Holy Ghost. With that old spirit that you had, you couldn't get along with your neighbor. You couldn't get along with yourself. So how are you going to get along with God? So God gives you a new spirit. And many times under enthusiasm, and if you watch the life that it bears, I hope I'm not hurting, but I hope that I'm uncovering, see? A lot of times you think that you've got the Holy Spirit. Oh, you said, I sung, I spoke in tongues, certainly. Being that close to it, you might do all that, but that isn't the Holy Spirit, see? The Holy Spirit bears record of Jesus Christ. Now, he taken, and what did he do? He give you a new heart, give you a new spirit, and then he puts his spirit in you. You don't have to go around and pretend that you're a Christian man. That new spirit brings new life. The Holy Spirit's in your new spirit, in your new heart, your new spirit, and the Holy Spirit goes right into the center of your new spirit, and your new spirit goes right into the center of your new heart. From impersonation of Christianity, Brother Bram said, now, when you do that, and don't bear the fruit of the Spirit, then you're in the new spirit. You didn't used to do that, that's right. But God had given you a new spirit. Why, the spirit that you had, you couldn't even get along with yourself. So how are you going to get along with God? So God has to give you a new heart, not a patched up one, a new heart, and that's your intellects that you think with, a new way of thinking. Then he gives you a new way of thinking. Yes, that's right. Now notice the new heart is a new mindset. It's a new way of thinking. Then he said, after that, then I'll give you a new spirit. And what's that? A new desire. I want to do right. Now, I know that I'm a Christian, and I got to, and I'll smoke one more, and then I'll throw it away. See? And I'll just stay home tonight, and I'll just all these little just that and exactly. Eve stopped for just one moment. That's all she had to do. But now that's the new spirit. Then notice the order of the scripture. After you get a new heart and a new spirit, he said, I'll put my spirit. See? That's the scripture says here. That's the order, the pneumatics, or the numerical order of the scripture. A new heart, a new spirit, and then my spirit. Then God's Holy Spirit. Now, God's new heart that he put in you sets you right in at the center. That's your impulse. That's your emotion, where it goes out. And then the new spirit sets right in the center of the new heart, and God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it sets right in the center of your new spirit, and there it controls your emotions. But to accept it, you have a new heart, a new spirit, and his spirit. Part of the Logos in you controlling your emotions. And when he coos through the word, you coo back to him. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I like that. He says, you know, it's part of that Logos right in there, dwelling in you. Again, from impersonation of Christianity, he says, yes, what's the order of the scripture? I'll take away the old stony heart and I'll give you a new heart. That's the first order. Some of them stop on that first order. Now that's, and you're just getting started. Then he said, I'll give you a new spirit. And there's where a lot of you Pentecostals fail. You had to have a new spirit. Oh, you felt good and you felt like that, and oh, Justin, and couldn't have it. Well, you just got started. You're just getting fixed up now to just, you're just coming to, in line. He had to give you a new spirit. Why, you couldn't get along with yourself and with your old spirit. So how could you get along with God's spirit? So he had to give you a new spirit. All right. So we're seeing then that Brother Branham is letting us know that, look, there's an order there. So when Jesus says in the parable that out of the heart cometh all these, you know, awful things, well, that's the heart of man. But if God has given you a new heart, what's going to come out of there? The Word. And then that new heart will receive a new spirit, a new desire. You see? That'll have a desire toward that Word. And then God gives you of His Spirit. In Matthew 13, verse 15, Jesus says, For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So we're dealing with the heart as a receptacle of the soul. Then the heart and its condition is very important because of the influence it plays on the condition of the soul. You raise up a child in the way that they go, and when they get old, they'll not depart. Therefore, if you raise up that child in a condition or atmosphere of unbelief, it will have a very strong influence on what they believe of the Word of God. A child that's raised up in a very irreverent home will have a much harder time coming to grips with his need for salvation than one who's raised up in a home full of love and respect for God and His Word. And the fivefold ministry cannot give you a revelation. Parents can't give you a revelation, but they can prepare your mind to receive revelation from God. And the parents can prepare the minds of the children to receive the Word of God as well. That is our duty as parents, as stewards of the household of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, he says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He says, Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. And how do you do that? Well, he says, talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as the symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Put them on your walls. Put them on your doors. You see? What are you doing? You're creating an atmosphere. You're creating an impression. You're impressing upon your children the needs, the importance of these things. From blasphemous names, Brother Bradford said, as saying, coming to your mental faith right here comes the Holy Spirit, comes down into your mental faith, making it a spiritual faith. Then the spiritual faith only recognizes the Word. What if you don't have a mental faith? You see, that's your job as parents, to give your children a mental faith, a mental understanding. That's my job as a pastor, to create an atmosphere to where you want to believe God's Word. Then the Holy Spirit can come and anoint that, and you will believe God's Word. But what if you're sitting in an atmosphere where they don't think nothing of God's Word. They laugh and they joke about it. You think the Holy Spirit's going to anoint that? The spirit of the devil will. You see? And so in looking at this condition of the mind, we see that God has come down in this last hour to bring about a change of our mind, that we might receive His mind. He said, Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. And we also know in Colossians 3 and 4 that we're told that when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear also with Him in glory. That means a mindset. So then if it's a condition of the mind, then it must first come to the mind before it can move down into the heart and soul and take over that very ambitious ambitions and desires of our heart. And that's why the Scripture tells us, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now in Luke 6 and verse 45, Jesus said, A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And so here we find the Scripture telling us that our hearts will only reflect the real treasure that lays within it. And it will show what our treasure is in the things that we talk about. From the message, Is Your Life Worthy of the Gospel? Brother Branham said, The things that you think on, the things that you do, the actions, the things that you talk about creates an atmosphere. From Enticing Spirits, Brother Branham said, You let me see what a man reads, let me see what he watches, listen to the music that he listens at, and I can tell you what spiritual condition he is. He said, Because that's your appetite. You see, what your mind is feeding upon is only a reflection of your spiritual condition. which is only a reflection of your eternal condition. God's elect will hold to his word as their treasure, and it will reflect in their thoughts and in their actions. From the message, "What is the Holy Ghost?" Brother Branham said, "You let me talk to a man for 2 minutes, and I can tell you whether he's received the Holy Spirit or not, and so can you." It separates them. It's a mark. It's a sign, and the Holy Spirit is a sign. And any child that refuses circumcision in the Old Testament, which was a foreshadow of the Holy Ghost, was cut off from amongst the people. He could not have fellowship with the rest of the congregation if he refused to be circumcised. And now pattern that of today. A person that would refuse to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost can have no fellowship among those that has the Holy Ghost. You just can't do it. You have to be mature. Like my mother there used to say, "Birds of a feather flock together." Well, it's an old proverb, but it's a true one. You don't see doves and crows fellowshipping. Their diets are too different. Their habits are different. Their desires are different. And that's the way it is with the world and with a Christian. When you have been circumcised by the Holy Ghost, which means to be cut off from the flesh. And so we see that there is a certain diet that we all partake of. A crow has eats crow things. Nothing hardly will bother him. But a dove can only eat certain kinds of food. That's his nature. To eat like a crow would kill it. And I tell you, I believe that with all my heart. I heard a tape some time back of a certain preacher in this message. And as he did, all he did was holler and scream and yell, but he didn't say anything. And I couldn't understand it. In fact, I couldn't even stand to listen to it. And I thought, well, how can these people be feasting on something that's not even there? Feasting on nothingness. Like the Bible says in Isaiah 29, it's like the man in a night vision. He eats, but he wakes up and he's hungry. In his dream, he dreams that he's drinking, but he wakes up, he's thirsty. You see, there's nothing there. Okay, from the message, thirst. From the message, thirst, Brother Brown said, there's a control tower in the soul that tells you the spiritual things that you have need of. Something in your spirit. And you by this can tell what kind of life's controlling you. When you can see what desires that you are, then you can tell by that what kind of something that's in you that's creating this desire that you have. You see, there is a certain thing that you thirst for, and it can tell you in your soul what this desire is by the nature of the thirst that you have. I hope that you can understand that. So you see, if you've really got a craving for bad stuff, well, what's causing that? It's because you're not born again. If you've got a craving for the things of God, the Word of God, what's causing that? It's certainly not your first heart. That craves the things of the flesh. But it's the Spirit of God that lays within you. You see? So what we're looking at here is the fact that God has made us to receive His Word with our minds first, and then He will anoint the understanding that He's given us, and it then drops into our soul and becomes a spiritual revelation. So we're dealing with the mind here, and that is why Brother Branham is pointing to the deteriorating condition of the minds in the people in this hour. And that brings up the question then that we would have to ask ourselves: if our minds are deteriorating, if our minds are focusing on that which is evil, then where is that coming from? You see. Now, as I've said, the soul is that part of man that identifies the man. It is his very life and nature of the Spirit. And when we read in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved, blameless under the parousia of the Lord Jesus Christ," we see that the word for soul is the Greek word psuche, or psuche, which also is translated as the word life. When Jesus said, "He that loses his life for my sake shall save it," what he was saying is he that loses his psuche. He that loses his soul for my sake. So you see, interchangeably, you can use soul and the word life. Now, how many men have tried to place the soul as an inferior being to the spirit? And men such as Dr. Larkin, before Brother Brown came along, they even taught that there was a difference between the soul and the spirit, but they could not place it correctly within the body itself. They taught that the outside of the body is correct, but then they taught that the next to the body lay the soul, and then inside of the soul lay the spirit, which is error. Brother Brown taught us that after the seals were opened, that the first ring is the body, then the spirit, and then the soul. This means that the spirit was in between the soul and the body, in between or in the midst or in the middle. Now the question we ask there then is, what? Where is the mind? Well, the mind is in the spirit. That's where your conscience, reasoning, memory, and all these things are. So you can fool that, and you can speak from your mind, like an actor, like a Pharisee, but you're only a hypocrite if your soul within isn't ringing the same bell. You see? Now, that brings us to point number five. When we're born of God, we cannot any longer sin. Because if God's seed remains in us, then that which comes from the heart is only good and will reflect the fruit of the Spirit. From Pergamian Church Age, he says, I know thy works. These are the identifiable words uttered to each of the seven messengers relative to the people of God in each age. As they are spoken to the two vines, true and false, they will bring joy and gladness to the hearts of one group, but they ought to strike terror in the hearts of the other. For though we are saved by grace apart from works, true salvation will bring forth works, or deeds that will please God. In 1 John 3:7, he says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth or worketh righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. If this verse means anything at all, it means that that what a man does, he is. In James 3:11, he says, doth a fountain send forth at the same time, or same place, sweet water and bitter? In Romans 6:2, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? In Matthew 12:35, not either maketh the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Now if a man is born of the word, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever, as we see in 1 Peter 1:23, then he will have to produce the word. The fruit or works of his life will be a product of the kind of seed or life that's in him. His works, therefore, will be scriptural. And that word will judge us in the last day. In fact, the word is judging us even now. For it is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It cuts asunder the carnal from the spiritual. It makes us living epistles, read and known of all men, to the glory of God. He said, I know thy works, and if a man fears that he might not please God, then let him fulfill the word. It's just that simple. Fulfill the word then. If a man wonders if he will hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant, let him fulfill the word of God in his life. And assuredly he will hear those words of praise. The word of truth was a criterion then. It's a criterion now. There isn't another standard. There isn't another plumb line. As the world is going to be judged by one Jesus Christ, even so it is going to be judged by the word. And if a man wants to know how he's making out, let him do as James said. Look into the mirror of the word of God. Therefore, we must train the heart and the soul by the word of God. When a person is born again, he's not filled. The filling comes as you replace the unbelief with belief in the word of God. Then how do we know what we're believing in our heart? By what things we speak. Unless you're a hypocrite and purposely are acting out things that you don't believe, you will speak out of your mouth what's in your heart. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. In Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see how the mouth is confessing what's believing in the heart. In Proverbs 18:20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. In Proverbs 13:2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. In Proverbs 12:17, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue is of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace it is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. So God wants you to speak his word, because when they that feared the Lord, they spoke often one to another, the Lord hearkened and heard it. And now what's he doing? By listening to what you're saying, he's judging the soul. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. In James 3 and 11, a well is not to give forth bitter and sweet water. Is that correct? The mouth of righteous man is a well of life. In Proverbs 12 and 19, the lips of truth shall be established forever. And notice, it's the lips of truth. And what is truth? Jesus said, my words are truth. They're spirit and they're truth. And what will be established? God's word. Not yours, not mine, but God's. In Proverbs 12 and 19, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. It's not established. What's a lying tongue? Anything but what the word of God is. In Romans 3 and 4, he said, let every man's word be a lie, but mine be true, saith the Lord. Therefore, anything we say about a thing, when God has not said it, it's a lie. Because he alone has the truth. In Proverbs 12 and 18, the tongue of the wise is health. Finally, in closing, Brother Branham said from the Jubilee year, he said, when you're thoroughly convinced that Jesus is the Son of God in your heart, now, not in your imagination, but in your heart, something echoes down there. And remember, he said, he that hath, and that word is echo. When it echoes down there and said, now I'm saved, that's all you need right there, brother. Confess it out and let your words go out. And then watch what happens in your life. Watch your life from there on. No more than a corn could bear cockleburs, neither could that man bear evil fruits. He will have to bear good fruits. Jesus said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into the condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's because you believed, not imagined, but you believe it. It's because a thought in your heart, and the next thing you express it as a confession. He that will confess me before men, him I'll confess before my Father and the holy angels. Then something anchors, and that's when the reality takes place. And finally, in closing, 1 John 3 and verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, does not initiate sin. For his seed, God's seed, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. He cannot disbelieve, because he's born of God. In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we've examined this parable of your Son Jesus, knowing that it's not those things which come from out that defile us, but it's the condition of the heart. And Father, we truly believe that when we're born again, we've received a new heart, we've received a new spirit, and then your spirit. And so, Father, we pray that your spirit would be the control tower, that your word would be the control tower, and that all of our thoughts, as Brother Branham said, are of God. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves to this and to thy keeping. We pray as we would understand more and more about ourselves as sons, that we would come into that role, that we play out that role, not as actors, but truly because that's what we are. We are sons. Beloved, now are we sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so, Father, knowing, and when we see you as you are, we become truly what we are. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to fanaru our place and our role as sons of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's just, if we could just stand to our feet and we'll sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed.